Have you ever seen cold like this in Florida? This is crazy. Thank you so much for coming. Last night, I was trying to get sheets over my citrus trees. It was like a comedy show, because I'd put it over the tree, and then the wind would blow it off. And then I'd put it over the tree, and then the wind would blow it off. Then I tried to, like, twist it around the branches, or anyway. I looked like a fool. Today, I want you to picture my words as if I was throwing a big blanket over this whole church and keeping us warm. Because today, I want to talk about who we are and what we do. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has sort of established his ministry. He's been healing and traveling around, and people are very drawn to him. So in chapter 5, he walks up a mountain and he begins to teach. Now in Judaism, the great words happened on a mountain. They knew about Mount Sinai and how God spoke from the mountain. So for Jesus to walk up a mountain and begin to speak, it was like saying, this is what is really important. Listen to me now. The words that he said on that mountain by the shore of the Sea of Galilee are words that are really at the heartbeat of who we are as followers of Jesus. Christians call them the Beatitudes, and you've heard them before. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in Luke's gospel, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. These words make no sense to us. It's as if they inverse all of our reality. You see, in our world, the people that are happy are the people that have stuff. You know, the one who dies with the most toys wins, right? That's the world that we live in. The more you have, the greater your net worth. How could it possibly be that the kingdom of heaven would belong to the poor? How does that make any sense? I went through the internet, centuries of scholarship and theology, all trying to make sense of this. And I can tell you, I don't think in my lifetime I'll ever rationally understand what Jesus was talking about. But I can tell you this. He uses the words kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God 80 times in the Gospels. That's a lot. He was trying to tell us something about the presence of God coming among us, and that that presence, that domain, that reality happens more around the poor and the people who are struggling or mourning or hungry. I don't think we're going to be able to understand the Beatitudes with our rational mind, but what I have experienced through the years is that you can catch glimpses of the kingdom of heaven. You can see it. I want to give you some examples of times when I've actually seen the kingdom of heaven among us. Those of you who have been here for many years may remember Connor Scheider. Connor and his mom and two sisters came to us, gosh, maybe 13 years ago, 14 years ago. His mom was trying to manage a McDonald's. She had left her husband. They weren't sure where they were going to live. She was sort of a Buddhist, but didn't really practice anything, and they wandered into church on a weekday and said, she said, I need to find a community. I need to find a place for my children. And I said, well, start coming to church. That's generally what I advise. She started coming to church with her three children. They had had a wild life, and they were wild. Connor was so hyperactive at age 9 that I thought he was going to land in prison. Their mom decided that she wanted to be baptized along with the kids. But Connor didn't care to get baptized, so I decided to bribe him. I put a Power Ranger in the font and said he could have it if I baptized him. Hey, whatever works, right? They were baptized, and their mom brought them to church every Sunday, and I watched as our patient and beautiful Sunday school teachers loved them and worked with them and loved them and worked with them. And almost every Sunday I heard one story or another about one awful thing or another that they did, but they kept bringing them over the years and people kept loving them. And Connor decided to join the Boy Scouts and he started to calm down. And I watched that young boy slowly be transformed by this place. He started coming here whenever we were open. I helped him write his Eagle Scout essay about the only other thing that he loved other than church, which was cars. And he knew so much about cars, I couldn't understand anything he was talking about. But he became an Eagle Scout, and today he's in the Army. But whenever he comes back to town, he comes to visit us and gives me a hug. And I see in that beautiful man a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Or Will, our sexton, he came at age 11, his mom had died. He went by Willie back then, and he joined our Boy Scout troop, and now he's working here full time. But I'm supposed to call him Will, not Willie. You better call him Will, too. Or Carl Tedder. Pauline, one of our chaplains, heard that his wife was very ill. I don't even know how she found him. They didn't go to the church, but she started visiting them, and when his wife died, I had the honor of doing her funeral. And at the funeral, Carl, at 90-something and with a walker, looked at me and said, I don't know what to do now. I've cared for her for 5 years. And I said, the same thing I said to Amanda, Connor's mom. I said, you need to come to church every Sunday. So every Sunday since that time, Carl's been here with his tie on, often bringing groceries on his walker. And one of our parishioners decided to adopt him as her dad, so she sits with him and makes sure he gets lunch. And I get to glimpse, again, the kingdom of heaven. Or our beautiful Michael over there, who lives on the street and is suffering from schizophrenia, but is here every Wednesday and every Sunday and never misses a moment, even though he doesn't want to be inside anywhere else. He comes here, where he's loved. You know, when I went to visit Mother Teresa's Homes for the Dying, I had a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven there. I was in one of the Homes of the Dying. They were so small. There was maybe 30 men in a big room in this place. And there was a Sikh man who had a turban on, but his face was so scarred. I don't know whether they were growths on his face or cysts. I don't know enough about medicine to know, but I've never seen a face more disfigured than his. But he was sitting next to another man who was lying down, who was clearly dying, and he was talking to the other man and patting his hand. And when I walked by, this man with the deformed face, he looked up at me and smiled with this radiance. There it was again. Jesus would later say that the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. Once you've found it, you'll sell everything in your life just to have it. I came to this church so many years ago because I wanted to serve in the heart of a city, because I knew that it's around the poor that we would catch glimpses of the kingdom of heaven and of Jesus himself. And could you imagine a world in which we were looking for Jesus among the poor, among the disabled, among the immigrant or refugee? Could you imagine what the world would look like if we really heard these words? But I see them, I see it among you. I can catch glimpses almost every Sunday, really, when I look out and see your faces and know what you're going through and see who you are. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.